Amen. Amen. So really fast, sit down. Quickly, we have to go really. I thought, like in America, when he said, well, they're, you know, he said, Mama, we, Auntie Kathy, we've got to be done by one because we have a rugby match. Well, I thought, like in America, Super Bowl Sunday, they tell you you have to be done because all the men are going to go, you know, and leave, and they're not going to come back for Sunday night service because it's Super Bowl. So I thought you all were going to the rugby match. I misunderstood. And I just thought, that is just so carnal. No, I didn't think that. But then I understood now it's parking and it's money and it's, you know, so I get that. That part I get. Sharon, I'm so, just so honored. And your sweetheart, met him for the first time. And I don't know how you do it. I turned to Pastor Joe and I just said, you know, how does she do that? You know, I'm a mom. How do you do that? You know, is it all right if the people know that she lost her beloved daughter? Is it last week? And she was a mom herself. And we've known each other for a long, long time. And I'm a mom. I have five daughters. I have two sons. And, you know, I just, my Jerusha and I just, we just pulled, we had, Jerusha's mom, we just pulled over. We were in the car and she got the email from your son, got a notice. And we just pulled over and we just wept. And I just wept for Sharon. And I wept and I cried and I just, my heart was broken for her. And we prayed and then I turned around and she's here. And I looked at Pastor Joe and I said, how do you do that? I'd have crawled in a hole. You wouldn't have seen me for 5 years. I don't know how. And Joe, and they've lost a daughter. And Pastor Joe said, you know, because it's one thing you serve God because he's good. And it's another thing that you serve God because he's God. And they serve God because he's God. And I said, you know, 99.99% of the world would not, they don't serve God because he's God. They just serve him because he's good. And the first thing they say when tragedy or hard thing comes in their life is, there is no God, or how could God? And they turn around. And so, Sharon, I just, not only are you my hero, but now you're just, you know, anyway, you're giants in the faith. And I just, we love you. And you'll be in our prayers. And the grandchildren, the whole family will be in our prayers. Don't forget to call their names before the Lord and just hold them up because I know that they need that. And kind of turning on a dime here, speaking of children, let's go, because Tim just inspired me. I want to look at Timothy 6 real quickly, very quickly. I was so inspired. I love you, Sharon, very much. We go back a long, long way. We won't tell you when. Like we were 20, like in 19, like 2000, you know, so you added up. I don't know what we're going to do when we hit 30. We just have to start over. All right. First Timothy. Now, we don't have time to go into some deep revelation, and I'm not really a deep revelation. If you preach deep revelation, I'm there for about 15 minutes and then I check out, you know? I like that. Something I can relate to. I like that. The temperature. That will stay with me. I like visual. I want something that I can. I like the stories. We talked about that today. The story remains. Bishop, you know, I just. If you didn't catch his ministry and Prophet Deborah's, get the whatever you get now. I don't know. Okay, I was going to say tape record. Okay, not that. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, it's one of my favorite scriptures. You all learned this in Sunday school. Godliness with contentment's great gain. We brought nothing into this world. Certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing with these things, be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. We know love money is root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. And we all know it's not money, it's the love and the pursuit. And unfortunately, we have seen ministry after ministry after ministry after ministry just fall and collapse under the weight of this. We build something God never made us to build, and then we have to keep running. And I've done it. I'm guilty. I'm not talking about something I don't know. Then we build something God never meant us to build, and then we get on this hamster wheel where we got to keep it going. So, you know, in ministry, you know, you got to go. And then it becomes, you know, mercenary. You feel terrible. I got to preach because I don't preach. I don't have an offering. I don't have a, you know, or I got to do this or there's not going to be money. And then we're motivated. And then all that, we don't equate that is because we need money. I mean, let's face it. You know, we have to have money to live. We have to have money like a Pastor Tim shared today so eloquently that, you know, it takes money to do what we need to do with, in the kingdom of God. But we get on this wheel that will drive us. And God never intended. And all of a sudden, it begins to collapse. And we're going, God, save it. And he said, I didn't build this. This is your deal. And then I remember Mom Hammond sitting across from a table from me 20 years ago saying, Kathy, you got to get off the road for a while. And she said to me, and I said, Mom, I can't. I got these books I got to promote, and I got these TV things, and God's opening this door and that door, and I got to walk through. And Mom looked right over. She's with the Lord now, and she just looked right across the table and said, okay, if you don't get off, God will just throw you off. So I was not as wise as I am today. I hope I'm just a little wiser. And I just thought, Mom doesn't understand. She doesn't understand. I've got all these kids. I got to keep going. I got to keep moving. And I got to do this until I was ministering and getting the offering, going home, and I'm packing. And I was weeping as I was walking up to catch a plane, just frazzled and tired and hoping and praying, because we never set a price. We never say, we'll come for this amount. We never have. We've never done it. I just can't bring myself to ever do that. And, so I would just hope, you know, Lord, just let us sell enough product. Let us, you know, just put food on. I remember Gabriel saying to me, he's going to college, and he said, Mom, you know, I need my college fund, and which was funny in and of itself. And now there's nothing wrong in saving it for your kids to go to college. And I said, Gabe, honey, I need you to look down, straight down. What do you see? He says, well, my feet. And I said, well, what's on them? Shoes. I says, and what's above that? Well, my pants. And what's in my belt? And I said, in your shirt, in your jacket. And I said, what's in here? He says, well, my stomach. I just ate. I said, that's your college fund, sweetheart. There is your college fund. And you want your college fund. That's it. And so he couldn't believe it. He said, Mom, I said, well, you just have to do what I did. You just probably have to work. You know, something called work and believe God. And tell the truth, Martin. That's a good way to do it. And so he's working, and he's right now, he's in New York. Those of you that have loved my son, Gabe, when he was here, he got an offer from Goldman Sachs. And last week, NBC TV called him for an interview. So he goes, Mom, nobody recruits a kid, an unknown, from a junior college in Miami, a nobody, with no money and no degree, I don't have a degree yet. And I said, so who's done this, son? He goes, Mom, this is a God thing. And he learned that growing up, but you guys really enforced it in him. Thank you. And but I have, what I want to share with you is, so how do you deal with it? Okay, so we know we don't run after it, but we know we need it. We have to have the finances. We know we need it. So how do we balance it? And I just want to leave you with this, because you won't ever possess your destiny and keep it. Remember, I shared with you yesterday, in the Word, we saw we're only one-fourth of those that have the seed dropped in them and destiny dropped in them ever go on to possess it. And we want to change the odds at Harvest. We have changed the odds. I'll say it that way. We have. You know, es mio. Is that right? Es mio. All right. It's mine. And so we've changed it. And I believe that you're going to grab a hold of that and realize, if I don't do what I need to do with that seed and that word that's been dropped in me, well, this, you know, my stories always go somewhere eventually. Well, I hate shopping. I hate the mall. I just, you know, be a great wife, you know, because I hate the mall. And I'd rather be hit in the head with a frying pan than go to the mall. And one thing, in Miami now, everything is on. You think you're hiding, but everything is, my pastor's, Apostles Church, everything's on TV, and everything goes around the world on satellite to a million followers. So I was telling my daughter, I says, well, I'm hiding in Miami. She goes, Mom, you're on TV, you know. And I said, well, I have the illusion of hiding, the illusion of hiding in front of a million people. So you can't go to the mall. It takes you 4 hours to get through the grocery store. You just can't do it because everybody thinks, the Lord sent someone to give me a prophetic word at Macy's or somewhere. So I don't go. So, and I'm sure you know what that feels like, you know. It's God. One lady crawled over the jewelry case, you know. It's God. And so we tried to hide in the coffee shop, and a lady walked by and said, oh, prophet. So, you know, I just don't even venture now. But my girls needed school jackets. They had to have these navy blue jackets. And there's no one to take them. I was stuck. I had to go. And I said, girls, we're going to get in the parking lot. I don't like the mall. I don't like to go. I don't like it. But we're going to go. I drive a mom car, a Yukon. Get in a Yukon. Let's go. And so I said, now listen, don't ask me for any M's pretzels. Do not stop at any of the kiosks. Do not go into that crazy store where it's black and stuff and looks demonic. I don't know what that is. Hollister? No, it's not. It's got T-shirts and things. I don't know what it is. You've not been to the mall. Anyway, we're not going to Cheesecake Factory. There's no money in the budget for that. We're getting jackets. Two jackets. Do you hear me? Nothing but two jackets. That's it. You're not going to run here and run to Claire's and look at earrings. You know, two jackets and then we're leaving. Do you hear me? And if you're good, we'll run through a drive-thru really fast, maybe. And so as soon as we get in the mall, we pass the phone kiosk. Well, do you guys have iPhones here? I guess you do. Okay. I'm sorry. Well, I thought maybe England had its own something else, you know. Orange, we have Apple, I don't know. Anyway, Tim, you want to finish this message? My notes are here. Not getting anywhere here. Joey's going to find a new mama. All right. Well, we're in the mall. My kids start. Right. Mom, school's starting. You know, I got a job. I need an iPhone. iPhone. One over there. Lydia, I need an iPhone. Elizabeth has an iPhone. And Emma has an iPhone. And Juanita has an iPhone. And Maria has an iPhone. And Rosa has, we're in Miami. Rosa has an iPhone. You know, and the other, and Abigail, Mom, my iPhone, look, my thing's crying. I need a new iPhone, too. I need an iPhone 5. They all have an iPhone 6, an iPhone 6, an iPhone 5, an iPhone 6, an iPhone 5. And I'm like, say iPhone one more time. And you're going to eat these phones. You have a phone. And I was getting, in the whole way through, I got to go to school with this phone. In front of all my friends, I got to go with this phone. This iPhone 3 phone. It's just so, And then they do the hair, and they roll their, and my daughters are black, and they're biracial. I'm white. We're just like color my world, you know, my house. And so I looked at one of my girls and I said, you know what? You say iPhone one more time, I'll yank that weave out of your head so fast. $300 weave, I will pull that out so fast. Don't touch her weave. Don't touch the girl's weave. I learned fast when she was first born, I don't know how to take care of black hair. I'm a white child, I'm white. Which you didn't notice, but I was washing her hair every day, and I didn't know that you don't do that, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it looked like Michael Jackson 1972. You could stick a comb in it, you know, and I would go to church, and the sisters finally went, "What are you doing to that baby's hair?" I said, "I just go down the black aisle and buy all the products and." It's got a little black girl on it. I buy it. And I go, well, I'm going to lie to them. They said, give me that baby's hair. We're going to plait her hair. She had like 50 little barrettes in it. And I couldn't do that. I had to take them all out and put ribbons and bows. So now they all have weaves. So we have a lot of hair. And I just said, you're not getting an iPhone. And I just had it. And I stopped. And I said, look, you keep it up, you're going to get an iPhone C. They said, what is an iPhone C? I said, it's the kind of phone I had when I was a kid. You get a can of corn, two cans of corn, and you take one lid off the top, and you dump it out, and then you get some string, put a hole in it. Anybody old enough to remember? Anybody? You wax the string, and then you, I will send you, I tell you, I swear I will send you to school with an iPhone C. Now be quiet. So after we got their iPhones and left the mall, I know, I what can I tell you? I cave. That's what moms do. They just cave. Mm-hmm. 2-year contract, anyway. On 6 phones. Don't even add them up. I have to go 2 weeks in a month just to pay the cell bill, you know? And I told you, you haven't even seen their chin, you know, because they're like this all the time. But that's just, you know, that's just life at the Leshner household. And my friends can all tell you that's true. Well, this is the season, everywhere I go, we have been, in this last month, we have been to Mexico, we've been to London already, we've been to Norway, we've been to Denmark, we've been to Puerto Rico, New York, and New Jersey in the span of about 6 weeks' time, and then back to London again, all back and forth. And everywhere, it doesn't matter what country you go to, doesn't matter what people group you speak to, doesn't matter what language they speak, everybody is saying the same thing. They're anxious. They're worried. They're afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen in the economy? What's going to happen with the election? What's going to happen? And I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about the church. They're anxious and they're worried. And I'm thinking, and people are, the holidays are coming, and what are we going to do? And they're just anxious. They're anxious over everything. You know, I admit, you know, that can happen to me. I have to stand against that anxiety. We flew into Mexico City the day El Chapo escaped. Remember El Chapo? Do you get the news, Fox News here? No. They're fair and balanced, Martin, I'm telling you. And so, he tunneled his way out, and all I could think of was El Chapo's on the loose in Mexico City, and we're on the way to Mexico City, and we stand out. This little bit, and I asked my pastor, I says, you think it's safe? He goes, oh yeah, just go, it's okay, you'll be fine. And I'm thinking, you're Spanish, you blend. We don't blend. My daughter and I do not blend well. And we have Americans have a price on their head now, they're kidnapping people. And he says, oh, it'll be fine, you have bodyguards, and you know. And I thought, you know, just that's comforting. But of course, we went, did a pastor's conference here. It was a wonderful prophetic conference, and came back. But the anxiety level in every place we went was so high. People worried about everything. And most of it didn't involve today. It involved tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and what's going to happen. And the Shemitah and the world's going to end tonight. And what am I going to do? The banks fail. You know, someone asked me and I said, I'm in the quail and the manna group. Well, I just have to depend every day and go out and get mine. If you're in the buried gold under your bed group, God love you, you know. But God will provide. God will see us through. But we forget about the faithfulness and sustenance of God. And I was talking to a doctor. He said the three most, I don't know how it is here, three most prescribed medications in America are for heart meds. What's the word say in the last days? Men's hearts would fail them for fear. He said the second one are anti-anxiety medications. Anti-anxiety medications. People just being anxious. You know, just being anxious. In other words, be anxious for nothing. That's not easy to do, is it? I mean, I'd be lying if I could say just stand up and rebuke and bind and decree and declare and that's it. But, you can decree and declare and decree and declare and bind and loose and plead the blood and do it in fear. We talked about that yesterday, how people do that in fear. My grandmother did. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. And it was all in fear. And then we moved into another generation where it was, I bind and I loose and I bind and I loose and I bind. And it was in fear. Now we're in the decree, I decree and declare. And it's still in fear. Be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. There's a time coming. And the third one is pain medication. People are in pain. People are in pain. I'm not against any of these. You know, when you're in pain, thank God. All you want to do is what? When you're in pain?
Not be in pain.
Not be in pain. and people don't want to be in pain, and people are in pain everywhere in the church. Why is that? Why are people in pain in the church? Why are they hurting? Why are they stressed out? Why are they discouraged? Why are they weary? And why are they worried? Some of you are just waiting. We don't have much time. I hope she stops and prophesies. I first of all, I am a woman under authority, and I am minding the time. And I was told to bring the word and just like a scattergun. And because I am a woman under authority, I'm obeying. So if you're writing a complaint, it's his email. Email Paul Naughton. Just had 20 new members join. I can't breathe. All right. There's coming a time on this earth where we're going to see demonic forces released. But I want to tell you, if you're not prepared, you're not going to make it. I have seen too many casualties lately. It just breaks my heart to just see people falling out left and right. Someone, if I mention their name, you know, everybody would know. On the phone for 4 hours one night, just recent, 3.5 hours probably to be more accurate, on the phone with them in the middle of the night, just trying to talk them into living. Just and someone, you know, they have everything. They have everything in great ministry, and just talking them through anxiety and worry and fretting. And it's just, you know, the enemy is oppressing. But one of the things that I've been waiting for years, I've been saying, Lord, I'm waiting for the season of the open heaven. I'm waiting for the season of the open heaven. I believe. Do you think we're in the season of the open heaven now? I really believe we are in that season of the open heaven. The acceleration of the word of the Lord coming to pass so quickly just absolutely makes my head spin. He speaks it one day, and it doesn't take months and years to come to pass. It immediately comes to pass. Third day. No, we won't go there. But it comes to pass quickly. We had 4 days this time. We're the prophet of the fourth day, I guess. All right, but if you're not prepared, you're not going to make it. Well, how do I do it, Kathy? How do I get through it? How do you do it? People lurch from crisis to crisis to crisis. One crisis after another. Always in crisis. One drama after another. And what'd you teach me, big brother, about drama? Yeah. Is that good? It's a good word. You know, write the drama, invite me, write me a part, buy me a ticket, save me a seat, but I'm not coming to your drama. All right. In a house of teens and young adults, you just don't know how that blesses me. One drama after another. And I love to read. I read everything. I read. I just love to read. I always have. I read everything. And I read about the old, because back in the day with my family, I used to scuba dive. We scuba dived all the time. And we had to learn how to, the deeper we got, we had to take our mask. Anybody know anything about, you know, diving? What do? You put your hand over and you blow to equalize. Because your ears will just go, and you'll just go, I'm out of here. Because it's painful. So the deeper you go, you have to learn how to equalize. And you don't, you know, you start out snorkeling, and then you learn how to go deeper, and you have deeper and deeper, but you have to learn how to equalize. My brother served on a nuclear submarine, and he said, you know, I was asking him how it worked, and he was, I don't understand still when he told me, I didn't know. But he said, you know, the deeper you go, you have to equalize. And he said, because if you don't equalize that pressure inside, that submarine would crack like an eggshell. The pressure would absolutely just crack. The deeper you go, the greater the pressure. The deeper you go, the greater the pressure. Years ago, that you've heard it said, everybody was saying it, new levels, new devils, but it is true. If you think, you know, if you're not being challenged, you're probably not saved, but you can be challenged, and the devil, trust me, and we learn in the prophetic ministry, anybody that's walked down a ministry, there's a price to pay, and it's a big price, and it's a costly price, and a lot of people, you know, who wants to be a prophet? Everyone. You have a fivefold conference? Man, the prophets they have to have in the big auditorium because everybody wants to be a prophet. And you say, well, how many of you want to be, crucified upside down? Well, there's a couple people who go, do upside down well. How many of you want to be boiled in oil? There's a couple more that, How many of you want to be put in a log and sawed in half? Then there's always like two 17-year-old boys go, yeah, man, cool, I'll do that. I'll just so do that, you know. And they can't even go to the dentist. And because there's pressure. There's pressure. The deeper you go, the more the pressure is. And until you can learn to equalize the pressure on the outside, you will crack. And we are seeing people left and right in ministries from the fear. They just get the fear. Heart disease runs in our family. Prophet Deborah taught on words yesterday. It runs in our family. We have heart attack. Well, everybody dies of heart attack. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to get cancer. Right. You know, everybody. Let my kids say when I sing, they go, "Mom, that's not a blessing." And I said, "I love to sing. I think I sing nice." And I was a music major. And my kids go, "Mom, everything has an expiration date." That's my kids told me. So ungrateful. And take those phones from them when I get home. First thing I'm going to do. But the deeper you go, and you can go deep as long as you learn how to equalize the pressure. And let me just say this quickly because our time's out and the rugby's coming. But it's not smallpox that's killing people anymore. We're not seeing TB. We're not seeing things that used to kill us, these diseases. We're seeing people dying of stress, worry, anxiety, depression, despair, hurt, rejection. That's what we're seeing people dying of. I should have been a victim of, if it were not for the grace of God and a family that just grabbed me by the throat and took me where I didn't want to go, I know I would have been dead by now. I know I would have. I knew I had probably less than a year to live. You know, and some of you saw me less than 100 pounds. The will to go on. I couldn't equalize the pressure. It just got too much. And then finally, Mom Hammond's words came to pass, and God yanked me until I learned. And a year I hid. You know, I had to just hide and get to a place where I could get that stress and equalize it and get healthy again and get strong again, first in the spirit, then physically began. We talked about that yesterday, you know, in our workout sessions, how my trainer antagonizes me. And, you know, we call him Ebola, I call him ISIS, I despise him, I hate when he gets here, I think of 20 reasons I should cancel the workout, and then when he leaves it, I'm happy I did it. But, you know, we have to be that fit person, but yes. What good will it do for you to be physically and inside? You're just cracking. You're just cracking. How do you do it? How do you stand the stress of this time? This is an open heaven. Everyone is. It's accessible to you. How do you handle that internal pressure? How do you handle the external pressure? The decisions that have to be made. The things that wake you up at 2:30 in the morning and you can't do anything about it. You notice that it's always like 2:30 and you go, the car insurance has got to be paid. And you're laying there, you can't pay the car insurance, but you'll lay there and think about it. And the enemy's just, car insurance. So what do you do? How do you do it? This is what I do. This is what I do. I learned how to equalize the pressure. I'm learning. Let me back up. I'm learning. I'm learning how to equalize it. The word says, just for time's sake, I'll quote it to you. Someone can look it up, put it on the screen. But it says, we're praying, Kathy paraphrase, praying in the Holy Ghost, building ourselves up on our most by praying in the Holy Ghost. And I challenge you, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you are not speaking in tongues, and you are not speaking in tongues every day, you will not be able to handle the stress. You can be saved. It's like, do I have to speak in tongues? It's like, can you be a dog without a tail? Sure, you're just a tailless dog. But speaking in tongues, and I feel free to say this here, getting your prayer language and speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and warring in tongues and worshiping in tongues is like putting a stick of dynamite up the butt of the enemy and lighting it. I love it. It's payback time. And I'm not bringing a railing accusation against the adversary. I'm not that foolish. But I'll tell you what, he tries to torment me enough that I can pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit is bypassing the secretary, not getting put on hold. Hello, welcome to, we've only just begun, you know. Hold, we'll get to your call in 30 days. You know, I hate that when I call somewhere and they do that to me. Praying in the Holy Ghost means secretary goes, you have to stay here. Hold, hirabasotoramabarasia. And you walk right in to the president's office and you lay it at his desk. This is elementary for many of you, but I find that on a Sunday morning you got to bring it from graduate college in kindergarten and find somewhere in the middle to go. And you need to pray. Those of you that have not prayed in the Holy Spirit in a long time, I'm telling you, I am prophesying. I'm not prophesying amiss, and I'm not prophesying destruction. I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to withstand the pressure if you don't activate your prayer life and your praying in tongues on a regular basis. I wake myself up at night praying in the Spirit. I go down. I'm not boasting. I've just made it a practice to do. I have purposed in my life to pray in the Holy Spirit. I saw a documentary where a team from the United States went, I think it was, I was thinking it was PBS or somewhere, they went to the former Soviet Union, to a place, a region, Georgia it was called, and it was renowned for people living to these old age, this right. ripe old age. They lived to be, 100, 105, 110, you know. And they went over there to find out what was the secret to them living so long out here in nowhere. And they came on this farmer and they asked him how old he was. He was like 90, 92 something. And they said, you know, can we come home with you? He's plowing a field. You know, we want to find out the secret of your old age. And he says, well, I'm actually going to my mother's for a birthday party tonight. His mother's. And I saw this documentary going, now that's going to be lost on most people, you know. He's going to his mother's. He's a nice, I'm going to my mom's, you know. Can you imagine going to his mom? And he's like in his 90s and he's going to, and the camera crew walks in the house and the old woman, and she was old, she's sitting there in a chair and she's smoking a pipe, right? She's sitting there smoking this pipe, and she's drinking a beer. Now, I'm not advocating going pipe smoking and drinking beer, all right? And she's eating food out of a can, eating green beans out of a can. Everything that everybody would tell you is going to kill you, you know? She's smoking a pipe. She's smoking a pipe. She's drinking a beer, welcome everybody, and eating canned beans. And I thought, now that blows everything that, you know, your nutritionist told you. Everything. And they said, we stayed there, and we did this documentary, we stayed for so many weeks, and the only thing that they learned was they revered the young and the unborn. They revered the old, and they partied. They rejoiced and they pushed stress off their lives by getting together as families and partying. Having a party. And I told you, Junior, that's scriptural. Eat the fat and drink the sweet, Nehemiah said. Eat the fat, that's cake. Drink this week's Coke. And send portions to those that don't have any, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Whatever it takes sometimes, Junior, whatever it takes, push the stress off your life. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And they smoked pipes, they drank beer, they ate canned food, and they lived to be over 100 years old. Go figure. How do we do that? I want to live a long time. I want to live so long that my children are annoyed. I want to live so long that they just go, Mom, go to the light. See the light? And I'm going, raise me from the dead. And they're going, go. Just, Mama, go. We're just going to put this, you're going to think it's a pillow. It's just, you know. Just go. That's how long I want to live. Yeah. How do we do that? Most of you Bereans know this. Building yourself up means charging yourself. We saw a car broken down on the M16. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, I want to be English so bad. I just really try to be British. And your daughter has forbidden me because she said my accent is horrible. And I don't resemble any of the royal family. And just forget it. And so how do we do that? We saw a car broken down. And we saw a guy pull over. And he got his cables out to jump the other car. Praying the Holy Ghost jumps your battery. And it doesn't take long. Now listen, when you first start praying in the Holy Ghost, your mind's going to give you fits. It's going to tell you all kind of things. This is stupid. And you'll sit there and you'll think, man, I've been praying forever. And you'll look and it's been 1 minute. Hear me. It's hard to talk to somebody you don't know very well. Boom, guys. Sorry. It's like going to the doctor's office and sitting by people you don't know. How are you? Fine. How are you? What disease do you have? Okay. Move over. End of conversation. You have nothing left to say. Hard to talk to somebody you don't know. But when you know him. Oh, my God. Now, my pastor has tasked me. He has asked me. He calls it his honor. He said, you know, I love you, and you're a... he doesn't call me a daughter of the house. He calls me the prophet of the house. And I love you and we honor you in this house. And I want to ask you to do one thing for me. He said, I'll do anything you need. I'll be there for whatever you need. And he does. He sleeps with his phone on his pillow when I need him. And who does that anymore? Who does that? And so, you know, he's got 20,000 people in the church just in Miami. So, you know, he said, I task you with praying for me 2 hours every day, just for me, and report, come to me with anything that you see in my life, good or bad. Come in and be a Nathan to me. Tell me what you see if I don't like it. And I haven't gone often, but I've gone in after praying and fasting and the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, I'm coming in to see you. I'm going to Venezuela. I'll meet you at the airport. And all of a sudden, he knows we got to meet. And I'll go in, and I've seen my pastor just take boxes and boxes of Kleenex, and I'll just sit there, and I'm sitting on the other side of the room just crying. He's sobbing. He's on the floor. He's weeping. And it wasn't a sin. There's no sin issue. It was just things, guardrails, things that the Lord was showing me, you know, internal things that were going to happen. Plan the enemy had to stop him in his tracks. The, you know, plans against his enemy, against his life, just to help and speak to him. And the Lord said, I task you 2 hours every day. Well, at first I'm thinking, Lord, I only spend 1 hour praying for myself, you know. 2 hours praying for him. I'm going to have to get it together, you know, because if I lie and I go, yeah, I prayed today, kind of like all day while I was driving, I pray for my pastor, hallelujah, get out of the way. In Miami, it's the horn. They wear their horns out. Hate when they beep when you're at the light and you've been there more than a half a second. You're sitting, the light turns green, you know. I've yelled out the window. My mom goes, they have a gun, Mom, get in the car. Back in the car. What do you do? How do you get through it? How do you press through? How do you keep that shell from breaking? You're not going to be able, if you don't do it, don't expect to start out at 2 hours. Nobody expects you to start out running an entire marathon in one day. You can't do it. It's like me and my push-ups, Junior. I couldn't do one the first time. But when I was willing to get on the floor, the trainer got under me and lifted me off, okay? And I think I did three in one time. So, you know, you can do 3 minutes, then the next day, 10 minutes, then the next day, you know, and then every week increase it, praying in the Holy Ghost, and it will grow, and then you will love those times in the Holy Spirit where you just pray, because you don't know what you're praying, you don't know how to pray, you're just praying, oh, Rabba, Sotolo, Moko, Shataya, and you're covering your kids, and you're covering your parents, and you're covering your job, and you're covering your boss, and you're covering the money, you're covering, and something happens. I don't know. It's supernatural. But the stress just, bam, and you walk out of your secret room. Me, it's my bedroom. I walk out, and I'm Superman. I can do anything. I can face that day with any problem. And trust me, we've had them. We've had kid. I've had a kid in jail. We've had messes that we live in the same world you do. But I'm telling you what, you pray in the Holy Ghost, and when you walk out, you have the wisdom to know what to do. Your finances come in without you binding and rebuking and declaring for 2 hours. You know, it just happens because you are praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to do this. I can't tell you without demonstrating. My pastor has told me, do not ever preach on anything without demonstration. And so we're going to demonstrate. So those of you that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, or you have not prayed in the Holy Spirit in a long time, I want you to just stand up. And I'm not, I don't care who you are. I don't take in your name. I'm going home tomorrow. You know, if it's humbling, it's all right. But you haven't prayed. You haven't really persevered in your prayer language. I want you to stand. We're going to pray. We're going to start praying together. Or you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you need, you know, I want to tell you, you don't have to tarry. They tarried already, right, Sharon? They already tarried. We don't have to tarry anymore. They tarry. There's more of you. I can't believe all you have a really great. You're praying in tongues. Well, maybe you do. Harvest is unusual, so maybe you do. Come on, pastors. We get so busy doing ministry, sometimes we're not in there. I'm not saying you have to do it 2 hours, but you're not consistent in praying in tongues every day. Every day, and we need to stir up your prayer language. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, those of you that are standing around someone, sitting around someone that's standing, and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to put your arms around them. I want you to stand with them. We're going to pray together. Come on. Quick. Move quickly. Move quickly. Move quickly. Everybody pray this with me. Jesus, you're my Savior. You saved me from my sin. You're my healer. You have healed me. You're my deliverer. You delivered me. You're my provider. You've provided. Now be my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And I will praise you with new tongues. New tongues. New tongues. I want you to take a deep breath. Right now I want you to just in English just begin now. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Now, no more English. Receive ye now, now, now the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Take a deep breath and just begin to speak those words. Everybody praying in the Holy Ghost. All the teens praying in the Holy Ghost. All the youth praying in the Holy Ghost. Chocolate, babaya,